So how's everybody doing? All right, so the theme of today is arise and go. I listened to Paul's messages over the past few weeks and the way he brought out about the Prince of Peace and how he is our king. And we're supposed to be doing, you know, supposed to take that under consideration. He is our king. He is our leader. He is our ruler. To start out this, under this theme, like my son, Nathan, he's 18 years old, and he's been doing his own thing for a little bit now, a little wild, a little rebellious, but he'd recently decided to join the Air Force, and he just did his whole pledge of, you know, I'm in the Air Force, so he's officially a trainee of the Air Force, and describe Nathan a little bit. He's always wanted to be a hero. He's always wanted, you know, his favorite video games have been Call of Duty and Halo, you know, all the shooting, you know, war games and things. He loves to play Airsoft, which is where you basically play war in real life. I've actually seen him do real live ammo drills and things too. So, he's also, even though he wants to be the hero, wants to be the combatant, he also wants to be the hero as far as saving people too. And he wanted to be a medic. You know, he's always dreamed about being a medic. And he's a very unusual guy. He decided to pack himself this for his own first aid kit that had everything from tourniquets to ibuprofen. And he would wear it, he clips this weird thing, clips to his belt and straps around his leg right here. I mean, it's something you cannot hide. This big, giant thing. And he would wear this to school. He would wear it to work. He would wear it to church. And he was doing security at church and all. You know, part of his persona. Got to be the hero. He was on the security team. So anytime anybody needed bump their head or cut their finger or whatever, he was there to save them, you know. So that's just part of the way he wanted to be. And so he signed up for the military, and, you know, he put all these things down. He put down bomb technician, which, you know, my wife was not very happy about that. Bomb technician, want to be in the military, police, you know, the medic thing. I mean, everything you could think of that was dangerous to be the hero. And so he went through all the paperwork, and he's finally signed up, and he's officially belongs to Uncle Sam. And he just got his job placement about a week ago. And he didn't get the military police. He didn't get the medic. He didn't get the bomb tech, thank God. He didn't get any of those things. He is going to be a aircraft hydraulic mechanic. The boy's not mechanically inclined. I mean, but this is what Uncle Sam says he is, because he belongs to Uncle Sam. He made that oath. And Uncle Sam says he's done the background psychological and physical stuff on him, and Uncle Sam says, this is what I need you to do. This is what I've called you to do. So on March 5th, my son he's going to rise and go to Texas to go start his boot camp and start training to be an aircraft hydraulic mechanic. Not what he ever dreamed of being. You know what I mean? When we accept Christ, it's much the same way. I mean, it is exactly the same way. We're making an oath with God. We're accepting him into our lives. He died for us. He signed a contract with his blood. And he's got jobs for us. You know, it's our plans are not his plans. You know, our families are now his families. You know what I mean? And our goals are now his goals. Our New Year's resolutions are his resolutions. Just thinking about, you know, our plans and all. Late last night, I'm already in bed, stressing about having to come do this. And my daughter calls me from work, like at 10:30, and says her car's messing up. It's like one thing after another. I mean, I wasn't planning on this. There was no plan of this. And evidently, I went out there and tried to get the car to move, and it's the third transmission for this car. It's tore up. And I'm like, okay, what are you teaching me? So the theme of this is arise and go. And Jesus, you know, just like that, when he came to that man in the pool of Bethesda, he told him to arise and go. He told him to get up, pick up your mat, and go. He always has an action behind this. And God, even through the Old Testament, this is one of my favorite themes of all about the Bible. As you dig deeper and deeper into the Bible, you see what all the people, all the great characters of the Bible, there was a point where he came to them in some form or fashion and told them to get off your butt and go. He told Abraham to get up and go. He actually told his daddy the same thing. His daddy didn't go all the way. It took Abraham to do it. So there's so many instances where God, he doesn't just want us to just follow him. He wants us to do. He wants us to get up and go. It's an action. Okay? And even in the Great Commission, which what's the motto of Three-Point Church? Love God, love others, and make disciples. And that comes from a couple of different points, and this is one of them. If you look in Matthew 28, 16 through 20, which it'll be up here. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. So he had already told them, get up and go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. They were already following Jesus. They had already gotten up and go and were following him, right? These were followers of Jesus, and he was showing them how to live and how to be truly people of God. And at the time, of course, the Pharisees and all thought it was all about the law, and they were just hammering the law and legalism on people. But God came and showed us that it's not the law, it's the heart. And it's about being a servant. And, you know, so he taught us a totally different message. And how to love God and love others was the main two commandments, the main law. But he didn't just stop there. He didn't just say, just follow me. You know, he wanted them, because he's about to leave. He's about to be crucified. He's about to be raised again. And he's going to be gone. He's going to leave his Holy Spirit, but he's going to be gone. And he tells them here, it's like, all right, now is your turn. You've seen what I've done. You see what I'm about to do. Now it's your turn to go out and do. Go out and make disciples. Go out and spread my word and show others what I've shown you. Now, before we can even do that, he's also called us to arise and go away from our sinful situations. A lot of us have been or are in situations that are maybe not purposefully, but you're just caught up in a situation that's not right. You know it's not right. Crazy relationships or around people that hinder you and cause you to do things that you are susceptible to, you know, like addictions and things like that. So there are times before we can even arise and go and do what God has called us to do, we have to arise and go and leave what we are already in. There's a couple in Micah 2, verse 10. And I love this because it starts out with my favorite thing here. Arise and go, for this is no place to rest. Because of uncleanness that destroys with a grievous destruction. And in Genesis 19, 15 through 17, this is a Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, God's about to just wipe them out. But what does he do? He sends angels in to save Lot. And he was being kind of stubborn about it because he didn't want to leave everybody. But it starts here in verse 15. As morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, up, arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be swept away in the punishment of the city. But he lingered. No, won't we linger in it way too long a lot of times? So the men seized him and his wife and his two daughters by the hand, the Lord being merciful to him. And they brought him out and set him outside the city. And as they brought them out, one said, escape for your life. Do not look back or stop anywhere in the valley. Escape to the hills, lest you be swept away. Now remember what happened with his wife. So we're not just supposed to leave. We're not supposed to hesitate. Get up, get out. Arise and get out. Go. Get away from those sinful situations and those things that are keeping you back. You know that, I mean, I don't know if it's anybody here, but it could be online or something like that, but you know you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, and you know maybe you're not doing anything wrong, but need to get out. And that's Lot was trying to just hang out. he was lingering himself, and even his wife looked back, and she was destroyed. So once you're gone, leave it and go. Now, that's not the main point of this whole message, but I think before we can even do what God tells us to do, we first need to get ourselves right and get out of the situations that are bad. All right, another thing he calls us to do is to rise and go in the church. Each of us is a part of the body of Christ. We need to rise and go and be that essential part of what Three Point needs. Or your church, you know, local church, whatever. And in 1 Corinthians 12 through 20, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if a foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. We are all part. I mean, look at this today. Look what happened today. We are missing essential parts of the body, you should say. You know? Yet we're still here. We're all part of this body. We still are functioning, even though we're kind of crippled on some, like, music and stuff. But if we are all part. And if it wasn't for people standing up and filling in and being a part of that, and being faithful to be here, and the AV team and stuff like that, we're all essential. Are you being a part of the body? Are you doing your part? Is a question each one of us needs to ask. We're not supposed to just come and just sit and chill And, I mean, it's all good. Hearing the Word of God is great. Reading the Word of God is great. But we're all supposed to be also doing our part. If we're all just ears, like it said, if we're all just sitting around listening, what will we get done? Somebody's got to get up here and get embarrassed by, you know, speaking in front of people that when they don't, you know, they're afraid to do things. So we're, all right, next point. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. Oh, I heard this awesome thing. I was doing the, I don't know if y'all know that, but I was doing the multiply thing on Wednesday nights with this book by Francis Chan. I don't know if anybody knows who that guy is, but I love the guy. He's just got a heart for God that, you know, just very enviable. But he told this story on this message, was it the day before yesterday? And he was talking about elephants and rabbits, the difference between elephants and rabbits. And I just thought it was amazing. And I'm not going to go as long as he did because he did like a whole sermon on it. But just real quick, how long is an elephant pregnant? Anybody know? 2 years. How long is a rabbit pregnant? Well, a couple weeks, month, something like that, right? Okay, think about this. It takes two elephants, to multiply, to double, like 4 years to double itself. That's a crazy amount of time. You know, they did the statistics on it. If you took two rabbits over the same time period of 4 years, how many rabbits there would be? It's like 1.8 million rabbits over 4 years. Now, the elephant's much bigger, much more pronounced. You know, they're the ones that's up on stage. They're the big dog, the leader of the church in this scenario. Of course, he broke it down a lot slower. But the rabbits are just the people out in the congregation, the body. Okay? And you're talking about making disciples. The preacher up here, Paul, and, you know, Sandra and people like that, they're not the ones doing it. You want to see growth in your church? You want to see growth in the body of Christ? These guys aren't going to do it. It's up to you, each one of you. You're the ones making the differences in the world. They're just here to feed you so you can go out. Everybody get that? Okay. I just thought it was a great analogy with that. Next point I got. Rise and go is being obedient to God's calling. Each one of us is here for a purpose, right? You know, like my son had a, you know, he didn't know what his purpose was, but God evidently, you know, Uncle Sam decided his purpose was to be an aircraft hydraulic mechanic. But each one of us has a purpose also. Jonah 1:1-3. Everybody knows the story of Jonah, right? The Lord gave a message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up and go, arise and go, right? To the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it, because I have seen how wicked its people are. But Jonah got up, and he went the other way to get away from the Lord, what he wanted him to do, right? He went down to the ports of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. Is anybody here running from what God wants you to do? And it don't even have to be what you're naturally, like my son, he's not naturally a mechanic. But that's what Uncle Sam decides he wants. You know, I'm not a natural speaker. I was not, God didn't make me to where, you know, I have the most eloquent words and I'm actually terrified of speaking in public. I've gone through college classes and failed them because I got up there and I was like, oh, nope, not doing that. I'm walking away and just took an F. I mean, this is not naturally me. This is God. You know what I mean? For me to be able to stand up here and talk to anybody is God. And a lot of times, if you read the stories of the Bible, like Moses and Jonah, I mean, Jonah's a rich man. He's a rich man with the fields, and he's got vineyards and all this stuff. And God called him, a rich man, to leave it all behind. He's not like one of these normal prophets that are already kind of weird and wacky and, you know, pulling their hair out and all that stuff. He's an upstanding dude. He had the money to go rent a ship. You know, he had the resources to rent a ship and go the opposite. I mean, the place that he was supposed to go is over here. He went the opposite direction. He went that way. You know what I mean? So it's like, of course, God got a hold of him. And, of course, he gets a hold of all of us eventually. But it's a whole lot easier if you just do what he tells you to do. It may seem crazy in your head, but he's talking to every single one of us. If you're a believer in him, if you're a follower of him, he's got that plan for your life. No matter what your age is, because you might have been running for 70 years, and now's the time. It's like, oh, I'm running out of time here. It's time to step up before it's too late. You know what I mean? So that's another question you need to ask yourself. Are you running from what he's asked you to do? Are you staying in those situations you shouldn't be in? Are you making your own plans and going off on your own direction? Or are you heading the way he wants you to go? The hard way. The way that you don't feel naturally gifted to, but you know that's what you're supposed to be doing. Finally, we're going to arise and go to the Father. We all know the story of the prodigal son. The son that left, took his inheritance, as much like Jonah, and just went on his own path. Blew it all and left to destruction. But at a certain point in Luke 15:18, that prodigal son, he says, he made the decision. And this is a decision we all need to make at a certain point in our lives. He said, I will arise and go to my Father. And I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Because when we're not doing what we're called to do, when we're not being part of the body and acting the way we're supposed to be, we're sinning against heaven and before God. It may seem like we're doing everything right. We may have all our ducks in order, but if we're not doing what God wants us to do, we're still not there. So today is, it's a perfect time. Today is a perfect time. We're starting a new year. Let's make that New Year's resolution, we might still need to, go on the diet or start some exercise because, the body is a temple, the Holy Spirit. But more importantly, let's do what God has been wanting us to do, has been calling us to do for all this time. And we've been running or we've been stuck in those situations that we're too scared to get up and leave from. All right, let's go to the Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for making a way for us to be right with you, to even have a chance of doing what you've called us to do. Lord, we just right now, we want to come to you and confess that we have sinned against you, against heaven and you. We've all been running in some way, some form. We all have things we need to let go of. We all have relationships we need to patch and get over just the petty stuff, especially after the holidays. But Lord, we just come to you now and thank you for that, for you coming to this earth as one of us and showing us the way, how to love, how to be obedient to the point of death. Let us have that kind of faith. To the point of death, to the point of any sacrifice, to live for you and do what we're called to do. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.